Let us bow our heads for the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, you may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from the 24th chapter of Joshua, which was the tribes renew the covenant, verses 14 through 18. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in this land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, we do celebrate and give thanks on this day. This is our Mission Sunday, and we have dedicated our Mission Sunday to Family Promise and to helping out those who are in need. I know you've heard about this quite a bit. If you brought your box on this day, if you filled your house, you are welcome to, there's a wheelbarrow that's right outside the door. Maybe it's on the way to the Welcome Center by now, but you can put it in there. If for some reason this is the first time you've heard of it, we have more boxes. It's not too late. You can still be a part of it. You know, we have a $12,000 goal to raise, and so it's going to take everything we've got to make that happen. So I want to encourage you to give and to make a difference right here in our own community. I know it's also close to breakfast time, and so many of you don't want to start talking about lunch. I don't mind doing that. I don't have any trouble eating one meal and talking about the next, okay? That works out okay with me. But we're going to have a spaghetti supper together down in the fellowship hall. They're actually going to start serving at 11. So if you guys go to Sunday school or if you run some errands, I'm not sure what you do on Sunday mornings, but just keep it in mind that you can come back and you can have lunch with us. And that lunch actually supports a wonderful cause. There'll be some desserts for sale. And, of course, those desserts will also go to help. And we're going to have an auction with some of our desserts, too. So this will be a wonderful time. And I want to encourage you to come and to be a part of it. Let's go to God in prayer, and let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Lord, we do give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your love. We give thanks for all the ways in which your Spirit blesses us. And we pray that you'll bless us now. Open our hearts and minds to your amazing grace, so that we can hear the words that you would speak, because your words, O Lord, they are words of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there was a tourist who was exploring the Grand Canyon, and he got too close to the edge, lost his footing, and fell over the side. As he was falling, he encountered a scrubby bush, which he desperately grabbed with both hands. Filled with terror, he called out, "Is there anyone up there?" A calm and powerful voice said, "Why, yes, there is." The man pleaded, "Can you help me?" The voice replied, "Yes, I can. Just let go." The man said, "Let go? Why? Who are you?" The voice said, "I'm God. Now let go and I'll save you. There was a moment of silence, and then the man yells, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, trust in God. Trust in God is a major theme that we see in the book of Joshua and throughout the entire Bible. You might remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge God and He will make your paths straight. Well, today we find Israel facing an overwhelming challenge. After 600 years of God's promise to Abraham to make him a great nation, the children of Israel are ready to advance into the promised land. But there's a problem. There are wicked people already living in this land. What are they to do? Now, there is a new leader on the scene, and his name is Joshua. Under Joshua, God tells this new generation to take the land. Joshua is told four times by God to be strong and courageous. Now is the time for faith. Now is the time for trust. Now is the time for courage and for moving forward and taking that which God has given to them. But before we go too much further into our story with Joshua, there are a few things that we need to address. First, you've heard this promised land called by the name of a land flowing with milk and honey. What in the world does that mean? I mean, what if you don't like sticky stuff and you're lactose intolerant? Well, it doesn't mean exactly that, okay? A land of milk means that there is sweet grass for herd animals to graze on. Not only will there be plenty of milk, but there'll be plenty of meat as well. They're going to prosper. A land of honey, well, of course, that means that there are bees. And where there are bees, there are flowers. And where there are flowers, there is pollination going on. So you have fruits and vegetables. So this is a land in which you're going to find plenty to eat. Not only that, but honey in those days was treasured and prized. There was no sugar. If you wanted to sweeten something, if you had a sweet tooth, more than likely honey is what brought that sweetness to the dish. So, when you hear land flowing with milk and honey, it means a land of agricultural abundance where people and animals can thrive. Second, the children of Israel are not a huge fighting force. You remember some of these stories, right? God has whittled down this group to the truly faithful. And here at the beginning of their conquest of the promised land, they face very difficult, if not impossible, odds. There are many nations already present and entrenched. Some of them, like Jericho, have mighty walls. And many of these nations have fighting forces that are much larger than the Israelites. The understanding here is if they are going to win and take the promised land, it will only happen with God's help, with God's power. And it will only happen if they trust in God's power over their own. Thirdly, Joshua is one of the bloodiest books in the Bible. We've heard the story of Jericho, right? March around the city for 7 days while seven priests blowing horns. Now, first off, you got to remember that number seven, right? That's a symbolic number. That is a holy number. I mean, how many days did it take God to create everything? 7 days. And therefore, 7 days is a holy number of completion. So it's a perfect number. And they walk around, they blow their trumpets, they make their noise. And on the seventh day, the walls fall down. What a great story. We even have a children's song. Gwen played it for us on a prelude. We have a children's song about it. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. How sweet. You know what, my friends? That story doesn't end there. It ends for our children at that point. But if you continue to read, what do you find? Joshua chapter 6, verse 21, this is what we hear. Then they devoted themselves, they devoted to destruction by the edge of the sword, killed all in the city, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys. My friends, this is violent stuff. It doesn't happen just in Jericho. This goes on throughout the conquest. Now, Dr. Lawrence Boat, in his book on the Old Testament, has this to say. He says, the conquest emphasized the victories, that they all came from God, and that Joshua and the tribes followed God's directives carefully and always dedicated their military victories as a sacrifice to God in thanksgiving for God's aid. This terrible tradition in Hebrew is called harem. Harem was practiced to show that Israel put all its trust in God alone during the war and sought nothing for itself. Now, harem was something that was done throughout that region, throughout that land, when conquest was done. But the other part of it is that you took everything for yourself, for your nation. But what was different about the Israelites is that they didn't take it. You know, they could have added to their slaves. They could have had slaves. They could have had donkeys and all kinds of herd animals. But that's not what they were after. They gave it all to God. And it was understood that God was the one who provided the victory. All the killing that Joshua does, well, you'd also think that there would be no one left in Canaan. But that's not the case. As we continue to read and explore the Bible together, we will see that the Canaanites caused the Israelites a whole bunch of problems. Problems like skirmishes and warfare, which never really end. And the problem of intermarriage. What do you do when a good Hebrew Jewish boy marries a Canaanite woman? What God do you worship? Do you worship both gods? Many times this does happen, and many times to the detriment of the Hebrew people, Yahweh is forgotten altogether. You'll notice in chapter 3 that Joshua is their leader. A leader completely and fully leading them and understood to be in the very footsteps of Moses, having received the very mantle of Moses. Our Joshua has Moses' abilities. The Israelites come to the River Jordan, and of course they can't pass. And so Joshua has the priests and 12 men from each tribe go across first. And what do? Before the Israelite people can cross into this promised land, they carry the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, we find the Ten Commandments. And as they go to the Jordan River, it divides. Have we heard this story before? And they go across, and when they go across on dry ground. Just as Moses led the Israelites out of harm's way from Pharaoh and Pharaoh's chariots, so now Joshua leads them into the promised land through a divided waters. But with this time, very intentionally, God is the one who leads the way. My friends, the importance of this story is not just the correlation between Moses and Joshua. It's understanding. that God goes before them. And every time God goes before them, they win. Every time they see God and follow God, they win. And every time they ignore God's directive, they lose. You see a spiritual correlation here for us on this day? Do we follow God's directive first and foremost? Do we follow God? And when we do, guess what? In this life, we're going to win. God is going to bring us the victory. And when we do things on our own, we do them and we forsake God or forget God altogether, we bring about our own pain, our own suffering, our own hardships. Let me give you a good example of this. This may not surprise anybody, I don't read instructions. I don't think I'm the only man here today that does that. I don't know why it's a guy thing. It just seems to be. I look at the box and figure it out. Matter of fact, every time I go to the store, the guy tells me, oh, it only takes 30 minutes to put together. So I have to beat the 30-minute mark. All right? It's almost like if I don't do that, my manhood is now in question. And so, on the third day, as I'm trying to put it together, my wife will come in and she'll start reading the directions. And I start listening, but I'm pretending not to listen. And then ultimately, as I listen to the directions, as I follow the instructions, things start to make sense and it comes together. If I would have just done that in the beginning, right? Wouldn't my life have been a lot easier? I might even have done it in 30 minutes. Probably not, but still, better than 3 days. I think that's how it works for us in our lives, too. We have time and time again. If we'll just listen to God. And you know, sometimes the way that God wants us to go is not an easy way. And then the question always comes, well, how do we know it's God's way? And I don't really know what to tell you other than you're going to know. If you really pray about it, if you talk with friends, if you get wise counsel, you're going to know. You're going to know it's not easy. You're going to know how difficult it is. But you're also going to know that some kind of deep down feeling of this is the way I'm supposed to go. And I don't know what's going to happen. But God's going to help me down this road. One of the things that's so interesting is that when we put God first in our lives, guess who others see working in our lives? God, no doubt. Throughout the book of Joshua, it says this very simple thing. God wants to be made known through God's people. God wants to be made known to the world through the Israelites. And guess what? God wants to be made known through you and through me, through Christ's holy church. And that's what I think is so wonderful about our Mission Sunday. Because on Mission Sunday, that's exactly what we do. We celebrate and we understand that this isn't about us. It's about God, and that God is going to make God's self known through our church. And if God's not made known through our church, then what are we doing? We have to let God lead the way, and we have to follow. We have to follow with our money. We have to follow with our hands. We have to follow with our feet, with the sweat of our brow. We have to follow with loving hearts. We have to follow to make a difference. But that difference only comes when we listen to the directions. And I'm proud on this day that this church family has said, you know what, we're going to help right here in our community with Family Promise. Just this last week, There was a very powerful story that came out of the family promise that came from right here in New Braunfels, and I want to share it with you. It actually was shared by Stacy Miner. Stacy is our network director for Family Promise here in the greater New Braunfels area. And in an email, here's what she wrote. Oakwood Baptist, and it's okay, we can say that. We pray for any church that lifts up the name of Jesus, okay? And we're cool. Oakwood Baptist was coordinating an event by Christian Brothers Automotive to give single moms a free oil change. They do this coordinating with local churches, and they can only do it by appointment only. Both of the moms in Family Promise signed up. One of the moms took her car to Christian Brothers, and it was there that they noticed that there were some other repairs that needed to be done to her car. She mentioned that she had the parts, but that the volunteer who was scheduled to fix her car had his tools stolen. So the mechanic said, well, you know what? I can do it. And so he took time and made the repairs and did them and did not charge her a thing. But the story doesn't stop there. As the mechanic made the repairs, he noticed that two of her tires were in very dangerous condition. The next day, Rebecca with Christian Brothers called our mom and said that if she could go to Discount Tire off of Loop 46, that they would donate two good tires to her. Well, as you can imagine, our mom was extremely grateful, but was working double shifts for the next 4 days. When our mom arrived at work, Daniel, the manager of Discount Tire, and Rebecca were there waiting for her. She went to work, and they took her car and got new tires. They didn't want her driving on them because they were just too dangerous. She was carrying precious cargo for children. Our Family Promise mom, as you can understand, was overwhelmed, and tears of thankfulness ran down her face. Later that day, her car was returned with two safe tires. When she got into her car that night, after she had worked her double, she found the Discount Tire receipt. And in the comment section, Daniel wrote that he was inspired by her because she was such a strong person. Again, our mom cried as she was overwhelmed with kindness and support. The next day, our Family Promise mom realized that her gas gauge was on full, and it had been a long time since it had been on full. And again, it was because of the kindness of others. I want to ask you, do you think that her faith was strengthened through these loving actions? Do you think that God showed her and her children some amazing love and some amazing grace and did it through the body of Christ? Do you think God wanted to be made known through God's people? Absolutely. And God wants to be made known through us. And Joshua, God wants to work through the Israelites to make the world known of his amazing love and power. That's where we find ourselves in our scripture lesson today. Joshua, who is in the twilight of his years, who has fought the good fight, who has been faithful to God, is now challenging one more time the Israelite people. Choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. My friends, will you put God first in all that you do? Will you allow God to be seen through your actions? Will we as a church allow God to be seen through us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.